he's probably going to lose all of their money and maybe even end up in jail.
It's actually a terrible strategy. I couldn't agree more.
This trend could potentially continue the rest of the year.
I believe that investors out there shouldn't necessarily be rushing into this market.
Today is Wednesday, June 11th, 2025, and this is The Bash. Welcome to The Bash, where we bring the analyst and planner to the table to discuss relevant financial and investment topics. We're going to have 60 seconds to discuss each topic. Scott, my man, the analyst, before we get started, I think Father's Day is coming up this weekend. Any big plans with you and the family?
Matthew, first of all, happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there. As you know, I myself will spend it on the baseball field with my son, and I'm sure it'll be a great day. How about yourself? What are your plans?
I think we got the same thing going on, maybe even a tennis tournament, but for us, that's the gift that just keeps giving. So, Scott, we're on the same page, and I'm going to now turn to the stock market in 2025. We're at the mid-year point, pretty much. It's been a wild start to 2025.
Yes, definitely.
It felt like the market was headed for a crisis and may have now totally redeemed itself.
And totally redeem yourself!
What are your thoughts so far?
Yeah, well said, Matt. Market has been on a wild ride. 15% decline there in the first quarter, only to stage a dramatic rebound and come back to earlier year valuations. I want to help our investors understand the reasons why. First, the rebound that we've seen was driven in part due to a pausing or a reversing, of course, of tariffs.
I always say tariffs is the most beautiful word to me in the dictionary.
Now, certainly there was that 90-day pause. We're 60 days in, and we don't definitively have deals done. So there is a little bit of uncertainty there. We still see persistent inflation. We even got numbers out this morning, which showed an overall decline, but inflation remains persistent. The Fed has been forecasted to cut rates this year, yet we're sitting here in June. We haven't cut rates yet. So the bulls out there need to be aware that maybe Fed cuts aren't coming as soon as predicted. So investors out there really need to take pause, look at what's happened in this recent recovery, and maybe use this recovery as a good opportunity to increase the quality of their portfolio. Matt, what are you seeing on your side?
Scott, thanks for your points. And first thing I want to do is I'm going to drill down into that V-shape. And what better way to do that than to look at the chart? So, Scott, in 2025, you can look here at the S&P, Dow Jones, and NASDAQ, and you can see that V-shape. And right now, as of June 6th, you can see that the S&P is up a little over 2% year to date, a little over 1% gain in the NASDAQ, and about 0.5% in the Dow Jones. But look at those major intra-year declines. I mean, the Dow was down more than 10% at one point, S&P was down more than 15%, and then NASDAQ was down more than 20% at one point this year. Those are major shifts in the economy and in the market, really. And I, in my opinion, see a lot of this had to do with tariffs and the uncertainty with tariffs, the potential trade war that was happening, the Liberation Day announcement that came in a lot more intense than expected, causing potential threat to the global economy. And what's happened since then? Consequently, we've pulled back on this. The government, Trump, we're seeing negotiations, potential negotiations with China, and the market is seeing that more as a positive. And I think that is the major reason we have seen that V-shaped, let's call it, recovery so far in 2025.
Well said, Matt. And listening to you and from myself, wow, the first 6 months of this year certainly haven't been a yawner, but the reality is markets are close to flat. So imagine if you really weren't paying attention. But let's move forward and talk about the next 6 months, the second half of 2025.
And I'm totally excited by it, you know.
It's been a turbulent first half. Matt, what do you see happening in the second half of 2025?
Scott, let's, like you said, focus on the year. I'm going to put United States versus the world. And I first want everyone to understand what's happened in the stock market the last 5 years. Did you know that as of June 6th, the S&P 500 is up over 15% per year, while Europe, if we just compare to Europe in this scenario, is up a little over 8.66% during that time period. Now, over 8% is a great return, but that's a huge gap per year. But there's been a rotation to start 2025. So let's go back to the charts. And when we look at this chart right now, and we look at equity performance, Europe is up over 22% year to date. International developed over 18, international emerging over 12, and the United States is up a little over 2-something%. That is a huge difference. And we talk about the rest of 2025. Will this continue? And why has this happened so far? So U.S. stocks led by big tech have, let's say, loftier price to earnings multiples versus Europe. There's investors potentially rotating away from the expensive U.S. names. We also have trade nationalism happening with the U.S. and policy under Trump, which is causing global investors to diversify away from America. So I'm really going to be focused on that, and I think that this trend could potentially continue the rest of the year. Scott, what about you?
Matt, for the rest of 2025, I'm pretty constructive. I'd say that I'm optimistic when we look at the end of the year, because I do believe that we will stage a late year bullish sentiment.
Really?
However, before that comes, I believe we're going to have more bouts of volatility. I simply look at underlying economic weakness, whether it be from trade talks, which if are prolonged could cause inflation. Inflation still remains persistent. Geopolitical concerns, even concerns here at home in terms of corporate profits, which are declining. Yes, earnings are growing, but profits have been declining. We have to look at that, and then we have to look at job numbers as well. Job openings have been falling. So when it comes for 2025, second half of 2025, I believe that investors out there shouldn't necessarily be rushing into this market at this valuation. Instead, they should utilize what you talk often about, which is dollar cost averaging. Use the upcoming volatility to your advantage. Use all of the weakness that's out there to do long-term buying. That's what I'm seeing. And at the end of the year, I believe we'll start to forecast 6 months out when possibly interest rate cycles could change because of a new Fed chairman. There could be a variety of reasons why we're pricing in different markets in 6 months from now.
Scott, thank you for your points. And we're going to do something here that I love, turn to financial planning. So Scott, with ongoing market fluctuations and evolving economic conditions, what are the most effective investment planning strategies investors should focus on now to help ensure steady progress toward their long-term goals?
All right, Matt, I love this question. We can now talk about strategies, and we can stop talking about what already happened. What I want to focus on are the two key strategies investors have to be implementing: asset allocation and diversification. Everyone's heard the terms, not too many people implement correctly. I'm going to go with diversification, and we're going to begin with prioritizing your asset classes. Being diversified means prioritizing asset classes. So when you own 100% technology, and you don't own other areas that are more defensive, like utilities or telecom, or areas like energy or the banks or financials or industrials, you're not properly allocated. So you want to prioritize your asset allocation. You also want to prioritize allocation within fixed income. You want to make sure you're diversified across the entire yield spectrum, from short duration all the way out to extended duration, to help mitigate the risk of interest rate movements. Alternative and real assets, they provide a great benefit to portfolios by lowering the correlation. They also provide diversification against geopolitical. So owning alts as well as real assets are extremely beneficial for the long term. Then I want to talk about what are some areas that you can implement, like factor-based investing or thematic investing. If you're a low volatility investor and you're looking to get off the roller coaster, implement a low vol portfolio that is not investing in higher beta names. If you're looking to be able to ride the wave of AI, go with thematic investing where you're investing on the AI spectrum. These are all areas that investors can implement to help create further diversification as well as spreading out risk across a variety of asset classes. Matt, what are strategies that you'd recommend?
Scott, you just listed a lot of great strategies. So on my end, I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to zero in right now on dividend reinvestment. Dividends are often thought of as income, but what about growth in the long term? So let's turn to the chart here and take a look at a comparison of reinvesting dividends versus not since 1990. And in this chart, you can see the blue line from 1990 till pretty much now is more than double the return. And this is showing if you reinvested your investment in the S&P with dividends during that time frame. And this is a great example of how compounding your overall strategy is a huge part of growing your net worth in the long run. The data makes it clear.
It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal.
If you're staying fully invested during this time, this can result in much higher returns than trying to time the market or withdrawing the dividends. If you miss out on dividends, this could mean missing out on a substantial portion of your total growth.
Well said. Now we're going to shift gears. We're going to talk a little bit about pop culture, but we're going to bring pop culture into our world of financial planning. So from shows like Succession, Schitt's Creek, movies like Wolf of Wall Street, they often deliver lessons. Lessons about money management, risk, as well as ethics. What is one recent pop culture moment that you think offers a valuable takeaway for investors today? And how would you apply that lesson in the current market environment?
I just caught up. It was White Lotus Season 3. I mean, I think a lot of people watched it, and I'm going to talk about the dad, Timothy Ratliff, and he's played by Jason Isaac. And in the show, doesn't really say, but I'm pretty sure, this is scary for us, that Timothy Ratliff was a financial advisor, and he's facing an impending legal issue based on a shady fund he helped set up with a business associate. And because of this, undoubtedly, he's probably going to lose all of their money and maybe even end up in jail. Because of this scheme. And what did I learn from this is don't let greed take over your life.
To do away with greed, with hate and intolerance.
I'm pretty sure the character and the family was very successful. And how many times have we seen someone very successful, rich person go too far, always wanting more and risking their financial situation? So in this case, if something is shady or seems too good to be true or you're trying to cut corners, that's a huge risk that could pay major consequences to you and your family. Why take the risk? And getting rich quick is not the best way to go. And that's what I learned from the show.
It's actually a terrible strategy. I couldn't agree more. And another strategy that investors tried to implement was just a few years back, GameStop, the meme stock that was out there. Social media really took hold and created this meme stock and pushed it up hundreds and hundreds of percent, and ultimately crashed.
Sounds good, doesn't work.
Many investors followed, whether it was GameStop or any one of the meme stocks that were out there and labeled. It really took investors on a ride where they were following momentum that was fake, and they were completely ignoring the fundamentals. And this is always going to happen. We are always going to find pockets of air in the markets that lifts an entire sector, whether it was 3D printing a year ago, whether it was marijuana stocks a few years back, or SPAC stocks and meme stocks. We're always going to see that. So investors do have to focus on their long-term plan. And I'm not saying not to be speculative, but be speculative with a specific area. Make sure that that area doesn't become concentrated. And make sure if that speculation goes the wrong way, it doesn't affect your long-term financial goals.
Scott, great points. And you just pointed out the meme stock. They made a movie about it. So I don't know if you've seen it because I don't know if you watch movies, but I know nobody reads more than you. But yes, that was a movie. So way to bring in the pop culture. Any other points, Scott, you want to make before we shut this down and hopefully we see more negotiations around tariffs?
Well, yeah, let's hope that cooler heads prevail. We're coming into the summer months, so it's going to get hot outside. I hope everyone has a great summer, safe travels wherever you're going. And you too, Matt. You have a great summer as well.
Thanks, my man. As always, to our investors, stay focused, stay disciplined, and stay tuned for the next episode of The Bash.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC. All performance referenced is historical and is no guarantee for future results. All indices are unmanaged and may not be invested into directly. No strategy assures success or protects against loss. The economic forecasts set forth in this material may not develop as predicted, and there can be no guarantee that strategies promoted will be successful. This information is not intended to be a substitute for specific individualized tax or legal advice. We suggest that you discuss your specific situation with a qualified tax or legal advisor.